Hello and welcome to Fantasy Talks Live, the podcast that came out of the Jose's Amazing World's YouTube channel. Original video recordings of all the episodes in the podcast can be found at Jose's Amazing World's in YouTube. Listeners beware, as plot spoilers can be discussed in any of the episodes in the podcast. And now, without further delay, enjoy the show. Okay, so I think we should be live now after some technical issues getting the connection going. So, hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time it is for anyone watching live or later on. I've got the absolute pleasure of being joined again by Ian to discuss Empire of Silence by Christopher Rocchio. So, Ian, I don't know, overall impression?
I thought it was a very long prologue, but it was a very nice setup. I think I'm going to enjoy the rest of the series. This one, like you said in your video and my video, it was an okay book, but it is a lot of setup, which, you know what, isn't necessarily a bad thing because I've heard a lot of good things about this. Let's just say I'm excited to see where this story goes. So, but yeah, I did feel that this was just a long setup. It got kind of frustrating sometimes because not the characters were just standing still, basically. It just kind of felt like the plot wasn't moving forward and they were just giving all this backstory. And I got confused sometimes, like we would get to a plot point and you think, okay, is this where it's going to start? Is this where the story kicks off? And then no, like, and then we go to another planet or another area of the planet that he's on. And we talk more about his just moping, I guess. It's like, that's the correct term, but I don't know. It did feel like it's just one long prologue, but you know what? I am kind of excited. He's with his gang of his people and explore for the universe. And I felt that get the point, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, and I think everyone knows that it takes a long time for the story to get going. And I understand that we need to go on this journey from our main character, Hadrian, being the son of some sort of minor nobility or some sort of, you know, planet ruler, to being, I don't know, your Luke Skywalker type character. And that takes time, and Christopher Rocchio does take his time.
Yeah.
But I think what it fails a little bit is that there are some parts of the book where there are clear time jumps, like, you know, a couple of years may go by, or almost like, you know, when he's living on the streets in the first planet that he lands at, like 2 years go by. And I think those time jumps feel a little bit artificial. You don't get that sense unless you're told.
Mm-hmm. And that was kind of like we were staying in the one area and then jumping, and you're kind of like, was that just like, are we ever going back to that point, that part, you know? Like, what's the overall story here? And it's like, is this going to matter in the next, you know, is this going to matter later? So you kind of like, was that just a big info dump? But I don't know. I just have a weird feeling about this book that this series, it's going to be fine. Like, it's not going to be like a Wheel of Time type thing.
No, it cannot. I had a couple of issues with how the story progressed. And there were a couple of moments where I was like, really? So I don't think the relationships in the book are very well executed. And I want your thoughts, namely, on the relationship between Hadrian and his brother Crispin, and then Hadrian and his mother. But talk to me about Crispin first.
Okay, so when I first read about Crispin, I'm thinking, like, is this going to be, like, his main antagonist through the entire series kind of thing? Which, like, at the start, you know, there's definitely a big rivalry between the two. So is that going to blossom into, is this going to be, like, is Crispin the main antagonist of this going to be the series? Are they going to butt heads? Or it could go another way where Crispin finally realized, oh, Dad's been hitting us against each other all our life, because, you know, Crispin has skills that Hadrian does, you know, doesn't, and then vice versa. So it's kind of like, I'm not sure what to think about that rivalry bond, I guess. But it does seem like it's going to go down that trope where it's going to be brother versus brother. Hadrian is, you know, leading by, like, he's a rebel, if you will. He's out in the outer worlds, you know, forming his band of misfits to take on, like, the Empire, I guess. And then you got Crispin on the other side, who was basically given everything as a child, you know, was the favored child, as you will. And are they going to, and he's going to be, like, the main antagonist, I guess. So that's the way I saw it. And, you know, that's fine. It's a trope, but you know what? It's a good trope, I guess, but I have seen this before, so it's not going to surprise me. But, or are we going to get, is Crispin going to come around and realize that he wants to be the brother that I guess they don't have the best relationship as brothers, I guess. You know, they're always fighting and stuff, like, granted, that's training, but that's my opinion, I guess.
Yeah, but I'll go one step beyond. They are presented as antagonists, and they do really sort of hate each other, and they're trying to one up each other, but then kind of halfway through the book, the Crispin character gets turned around and he's like, oh, I'm very jealous of you, and you know, I really want, and it wanted to be like you, and it's like, whoa, 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 that's not what he was like for the first 200 pages. So that caught me a little bit off guard. I didn't quite buy that character shift. I don't know if you felt the same.
Yeah, that Crispin is a very confusing character. I don't know, that's the thing. Is he gonna do that full shift, or is he gonna remain like that, I guess, is he going to go like the big bad brother, or he's the little brother, but you know, I don't know, like that was a thing that I don't know about Crispin's character yet, arc, I guess, but I'm excited to see it.
Which, I know you said you were not going to read the standalone novellas, but Brother Crispin is the main character in the novella.
You're breaking up a little bit. I can't. Oh, okay.
So Crispin is the main character in the novella. Yeah, although it comes in this weird format, the novella. It's a weird choice of a format for the book. But we'll see how that goes. And the other... The other relationship I did not get was between Hadrian and his mother. Because the mother does not feature at all. And then there's a Deus Ex Machina moment when Hadrian is trying to get out of the planet. And then mum comes in and saves the day and arranges it all for him. And I didn't quite buy that either. What do you think?
So you're a little bit, I think you're talking about the relationship between mother. So that was like another, like she was obviously trying to help him get off planet. So like she wants to get back at the husband. What it was the dad's name. I read this book like a month ago. I'm trying to, there's so many characters, the father. But yeah, she's obviously trying to help her boy. Like, cause you know, it's that other trope where, you know, the mom knows that there's something wrong. One of the parents knows that there's something wrong with the other parent and trying to help the, you know, the misfit child get off the planet to, you know, go wreak havoc and take revenge and stuff like that. But with, you know, like even more like that character, are we going to see her again? I don't know. The thing with the in my opinion, kind of like what Chris was saying is, there's a lot of potential for these characters, just like, but we really only get to really flesh out Hadrian. And I get it because it's his first person experience here. So, which this is why I don't really care for the first person experience books, because I want to know the entire world and characters and stuff like that get fleshed out. We're really only getting Hadrian's character fleshed out in this book. And who knows? I don't know if we will get any other characters fleshed out, because like you said, this is like a biography type book. It's written in that way. I guess I didn't really care about the mother that too much. It was just kind of like, okay, yeah, I mean, are we going to see her again? Are we going to see some of these characters again? Because like I said, we'll be introduced to characters and we're like, okay, are we going to see that character again? Or like, what was that whole plot point for? It all comes, this book was good. It was just a long prologue, in my opinion.
Yeah, because we get that as well. Girl that he lives in the streets with, and it hints at the potential relationship between them, and then she dies. And that's it. It's like a false start. Exactly.
So I thought for sure, I was like, oh, okay, we have our romantic interest. And all of a sudden, she's gone. And then did 2 years pass in that little time, that little section? I thought it was a time jump as well, right there. I was like, whoa, we just jumped forward 2 years in two pages or something like that? And like, I'm supposed to get that. That's another thing is like, he's, might be going too fast. Like, am I supposed to care for this character? I get it. For me, I've known her for what, you know, five pages. For Hadrian, he's known her for like apparently 2 years by, and I'm supposed to care like she died. By the way, this is a spoiler show, so I apologize. But she just dies, and I was like, oh, okay. We're going to move on, I guess. Hadrian's feeling like shit, just like in the dumps, literally. He's just down in the dirt. But like, I guess like, okay, so I'm supposed to care for that character. I think her name was Kat. And like, okay, we're moving on, I guess. So, I don't know. This book is so weird. It's very, very weird.
Because we have the same issue with his band of merry gladiators, isn't it? He's meant to go off exploring the universe with the gladiators, but we get very little character definition of them. I couldn't care. I know there's a couple, there's two of them that are married or something like that, but that's all we know about them. And he decides to trust his life and his future with these guys and go off exploring the galaxy.
But I am excited about that. I like that merry band of what they were gladiators. I think there was five of them. Yeah, you had the married couple. You had Switch, who was the boy for a king, I believe. And this big, huge, hulking, huge guy that they had. And I think there was one more. There was the old wise like warrior character. So you've got some tropes here about different characters, but now I'm kind of excited. That's the type of story I like. I like that band of brothers type feeling that you get where you get the Fellowship of the Rings type story, where you're going to have these core group of characters now who are going to go off and apparently explore the galaxy in the next few books. And that's where this book kind of excited me. Like, to be honest, like that last part, where he was, I think he was fighting that the Sealson alien. I got bored. I thought that was kind of a boring climax to the story. But then when he gets his characters, like we're gonna go explore the galaxy, basically. I'm excited for that. I'm excited for Howling Dark in the next books because okay. Now we're going to get into what this story is about and why he's called the Sun Eater. He's going to eventually blow a sun up, I'm pretty sure. I don't know when that happens. I don't even know if it happens. I'm hoping it happens because what are we reading this book for? But let's find out why he's called the Sun Eater. Let's see how badass this guy is. And he's a badass. Like, you can obviously see that he's a badass because of his fighting and stuff like that and the glad, you know, he obviously has, he's perfect, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, moving on to discuss kind of the world creation and the setting, it seems so fairly lacking in originality.
Yeah.
Because like you said before, it's very tropey. We've got the whole Gladiator thing, which we have seen in the movie Gladiator, and we've also seen in the Legends of the Dragonlance. The whole brother rivalry thing. I mean, they fight with lightsabers. You know, how Star Wars can you get? It's, I don't know.
This is a complete Doom ripoff, it seems. Like, I don't know if you've compared it to Dune. Like, this is Dune. This is basically Dune.
Yeah. And we just go back to that. It's a long book. It's almost, it's almost 600 pages. It's almost 600 pages. And the promise of what it's going to deliver only comes in the last 100, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah. And usually I do not like those type of books. Something wrong with this book. I'm excited. Now, granted, I can jump into the next book whenever I want. I sat reading along with everyone else and I had to wait like 3 years or I don't know, like a year or something like that before the next out. Like, so what the heck was this book about? You know, granted, I have The Howling Dark. I can start it. I'm going to start it in March. So, like, I don't have to wait too long to find out the answers that we, you know, the questions that we had answered in this book, which were not really nothing. So, but this book is, like, I enjoyed the book, and I'm excited to where it's going. I sound like a broken record, but it's just kind of like, yeah, like, I mean, I'm very excited to see where this is.
Yeah, I think.
Oh, okay, John. Okay, yeah. John, I hear you. Yep.
I think we all agree on that point. I think the book is a promise of things to come.
And then what Johnny says is, he definitely loves Dune. Like, I was watching a few videos with him. Like, yeah, this Dune is definitely an inspiration, which is cool. I like Dune. I really do. So I'm very excited to see what his take on Dune, I guess, if you will. But, he definitely enjoyed it. He definitely, there's a lot of fantasy plot points and Dune plot points here. And I'm enjoying it, so. Yes. Yeah. Totally agree with Chris here too. I did get a few I was pretty kind of frustrated at a few points in the book.
Yeah, for me, I think at one point, he was doing, stopping with the book, read something else, and then come back to finish it, because it was, it started to drag. Thank God it did turn. Thank God then we got the mystery of these alien creatures and all the stuff, and it really started to go in its own direction. But I don't think the character work is particularly great here.
Yeah, I do agree, but I do agree with the character work. But I mean, we're only getting one perspective, so you kind of have to put it, kind of have to, you know, let's just see how that goes. You totally agree.
I think we're all
Chris. Yep, that's exactly why I'm excited for Halloween. Okay, we are kind of, okay, John, So, okay.
And,
It definitely propels, it's definitely diving in,
But equally, I don't know if it's, like, I've got very, almost no experience within sci-fi, if you can call this sci-fi. But I found the world creation to be quite limited. There's not a great level of detail with the world. And the fact that we still got this sort of quasi-religion thing going on and these kind of gladiatorial things. I can see why people say it's sci-fi for fantasy lovers, because sometimes you can forget that you're reading a space opera and you could pretty much tell the same story in a more traditional fantasy setting.
Yeah, I can definitely see that, the fantasy. If I know, I can definitely see, because I can't remember who recommended this series to us on our last one, but it was the fantasy. Science, it's a science fiction book for fantasy readers. I can definitely see that. It's very unique in that way. Speaking on the Chantry, that's that religious group that they were up against, and I can't remember. And I thought this was going to be his name was started with a G. It was like that the son who I thought was like, oh, this is gonna be a perfect like villain. For this, he's dead. It was his mom might be the issue now. The religious, was he a priest or something? He started with a G. I can't remember what his name, but they fought. You know, they fought, and they, you know, he gets killed. And I thought, oh, another example of like, oh, this kind of fascinating character. This religious zealot guy. Is he going to be born in here inside throughout this? Oh, he's dead. You know, now the mom might take over, but you know, who knows? She's pissed, but we'll see where that is. But that's another, you know, I guess evidence where we get somewhat of an interesting character, and now they're gone. So we'll see, I guess. But I can't remember his name, but I enjoyed that aspect, that character a little bit, but. I guess I don't get to see where that goes anymore.
Yeah, and then obviously I think we're gonna have emotional conflict going forward, because he's being promised in marriage to the daughter of a minor noble, but he's clearly got feelings for this researcher, scientist, whatever you want to call it. So surely that's going to have to come back at some point, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of... This book did it. It did put up a lot of threads that we'll see if we can get tied down before, you know, the end of this series. I'm assuming we can do that. But there's a lot of moving pieces in this. And that's exactly what a space opera is. Just these, all these moving pieces, all these characters. I mean... just coming together to hopefully wrap up into a nice little bowl here. But Yeah, you can definitely tell that. Yeah, he likes the scientist, but he's got issues. He's gonna have some issues in the. It's not gonna go easy for Hadrian. I have a feeling in the next few books because a lot of people want view him as a tool to their own success, and we'll have to see how Hadrian and his merry band of men, space marines, get out of this, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I also found some aspects of the book confusing. When he first escapes his home planet, and then it's just not clear what happens. He gets found in a gutter, and we don't know whether he's been betrayed and abandoned, whether something malfunctioned with the... I even went back to reread a couple of pages there to try to wrap my head around what was going on. Did you get like a similar impression there?
Yeah, I was there really a like we don't know what happened. Like, did he get betrayed by those guys? Because when I thought like, oh, this is gonna be his merry band. Like they're going off into the woods together, and then all of a sudden those are gone. But yeah, I don't know if we got a resolution. Like, did they just sell him? Did they dump him? Did something happen? Spaceship where like he was the only survivor because he was frozen. I mean, that's another plot point. You're right. Like, and who knows? Maybe this is a long con that will get revealed in book four or something like that. But this book was very confusing at parts. But you just told myself like it's a space opera. It's a giant fantasy book. Just keep reading and find out. You'll figure it out. Like, don't have to. But yeah, there was a little nagging on me. Like, oh my gosh, yeah. Like, yeah. And John, but yeah, Hadrian never learns the truth. Thus, we never. That's the. Yeah, hope maybe in a future book we'll find out what happened. It's just like I don't know why you would why would build up that plot point and then just have no resolution. So I'm hoping that Christopher Rocchio, I hope he has a plan. I hope he has a plan where all these questions that the reader has right now, because this book did open up a lot of questions. Like we didn't get, I don't even know if we got really much of an answer to any of our questions in this book. It's just, yeah, read the next to find out. And hopefully apparently he's a very good writer. So hopefully we can figure this out in the coming books. But yeah, definitely a lot of confusion with this book.
Yeah, I mean, because obviously the book ends on the big mystery. They are exploring these ruins of this kind of ancient temple. I cannot quite remember the reason why they are there, but they are. And then the elves in the alien forms arrive there and they have a link with that place, but nothing is explained. I guess we find out, like John said, when Hadrian finds out. So there's a lot of stuff going on there where, yeah, I just haven't got a clue where this is going to go.
Are you excited for, like, are you like, I'm ready to go. I want to read the next book. Did you find the book, by the way? I thought I saw it. Because, when we last talked, you couldn't find the book of Howling Dark. Or did you actually get it?
I did place the order, even though it was out of stock. And it arrived within the week. So my plan is I'm going to start I'm going to read this. I'm going to start tonight. It's only 170 pages. And then in March, I'll be reading Howling Dark, which, we are kind of on, we are nearing Wheel of Time brick type book size, isn't it?
But are you excited for this? Like, do you have a good feeling with after reading the first book? Yeah, there's a lot of questions. Do you feel like you're? Do you think you'll enjoy this? Do you think we're gonna? Well,
I I am very curious. I don't know if I'm excited, because my reservation with my fear is that the pace of book one is the pace of all the books, because I suppose an easy way to write these kind of long fantasy novels is to take your time with unnecessary detail. You know, we suffered that on Wheel of Time, where there are five books which are just filler. And
yeah,
I will be curious to see if all of book two is a bit more like the last quarter of book one, because that would be a massive improvement on things. But you know, curious.
Yeah, enough. What I'm looking for book two is I want to get. Oh,
no. I was just gonna say that I'm curious.
What was that? I'm sorry.
I'm curious enough that I'm doing something I haven't done with other series, which is pick the novellas. So I really want to get immersed in the world.
Okay, I'll you know what? I'll probably have to find those on. I can probably find them on a Kindle for like $2.99 or something. I'll have to put those up. I did hear that the novellas do bring a lot to the story. I have been hearing that. You know, some novellas, like, you just kind of like, you know, just filler kind of thing. I did hear the novellas here are, they do. So I probably will have to pick up The Lesser Dark. Let's see. So with what I'm expecting in High Dark is I want to bite into the meat of this story. That's what I want. You're totally right. Like, I don't want another huge setup book for only the final like 50 pages to be like pretty amazing. But I want the story to now propel forward. I want to know more about some of these characters, like with the five warrior gladiator people he's with. I want to know more about them. I want a story. Like, Switch's backstory is pretty interesting. We got a lot of his stuff. Very sympathetic character, somebody that you're going to root for. I have a feeling he's going to die, this Switch character. It just seems like that's the type of thing that's going to just set Hadrian over the edge, because it seems like this Switch character is one of the only characters that he really truly cares about, and I have a feeling the author will take that away from him eventually. It just seems like that's the type of troll go down. I want in book two. I want to be because perspective. So I'm not sure if we will get that backstory on those characters.
Yeah,
well, along with that, whatever else is saying, book two, I hear it again.
Okay, yeah, I agree with you. What was I going to say? I don't think Hadrian is actually a very likable main protagonist. So I'm not, intentionally or unintentionally, I don't think he's a character you feel like rooting for. I mean, there's nothing wrong with him. He doesn't seem to have any character flaws. I'm not gonna say he's a Mary Sue, but he's not particularly likable either.
I agree. He does come off as kind of I watched Megan's Reading Revolution Revelations Empire Silence review. She said the exact same thing that I was thinking. It's like what you just said. He's perfect. He's too perfect. You can kind of chalk that. He was created in a vat. So like they can kind of create the perfect human being. So you can kind of chalk it up to that. I think that's kind of, because I do want my characters to have flaws. I want them to have a weakness, because like, yeah, he just, like, everywhere he kind of goes, he figures it out by himself. He does it. And he just kicks the shit out of everybody because he is a superior fighter to everybody. But I guess we're just going to chalk, like, he was created in a vat. Like, you've created the perfect human being. So you kind of can, that you can kind of get away with that, I guess. But I do agree with you, is like, he's not relatable, I guess. You can't really relate to, you know, the pretty boy who's, you know, literally, like, you know, he's worked hard for what he's done, but there's no flaws. Like, he, you know, now, he has had a rough, he lived in a gutter for, what was it, like three years, something like that. He was at a fighting pit for, that's, you know, I can't remember how much time has, I don't know where we're at timeline. Like, I know 2 years have passed at least for the cat thing. Oh, 10 years? Is that what it was?
I think something like that.
10? So, yeah, I guess we have no idea what's been going on in the outside of Hadrian's world. I mean, you know, he's on a different planet than the most characters that we've seen, or the other characters that we saw. So, yeah, 10 years have gone by in this 600-page book. But, yeah, like you said, yeah, he's not relatable.
Oh, so hang on. Question about the passing of time. They're traveling massive distances across planets, and the way I understood it from the books, they are placed in some sort of stasis system, a bit like in the original Alien movie, right, where the bodies are kept and they're sort of frozen so that time doesn't pass for them. But surely time is ticking for everyone else. So in all this time where he's traveling to different planets, Time is passing. Things must be happening to everyone else. And I don't know if that's going to be dealt with, or that's just going to be conveniently stepped over and not dealt with, or what are the implications? Because space travel must have implications, and I'm not sure whether we're going to be facing those or not.
If you want to get into the of it, yeah, that doesn't make, because when he was on his way to his original destination, I think it was a certain amount of time was going to pass, but we have no idea, because he got shot out, you know, he got sold. So we have no idea when he actually got unfrozen, like how far in the future he got unfrozen. Did he get unfrozen early? So, like, yeah, the passage, and then, we have no idea what's happening back on his home planet. His father could have been overthrown for all we know, I guess. Like, who knows what's going on back there. But that's a good point, I guess, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I haven't got any experience with sci-fi. In a fantasy setting, you can deal with these issues a lot easier than you can if you have to adhere to the physics of the real life world, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's why I'm not an author. I wouldn't know how to figure out this math, and I'm just gonna sit back. Hopefully Chris did his research and is able to tell us his theory on this thing. And I'll just sit back and read and find out. Hopefully I don't have to worry about that if it's going to be a plot hole. I mean, I guess you're just going to have to suspend your belief, I guess. It's kind of like a blockbuster, you know, some stuff doesn't make any sense, but I guess I'm here for the ride.
Yeah. And to be honest, majorly wrong with the book. There's no flaws that I can pick.
Yeah, there was a lot of information in this book that I probably can't remember some of this stuff, but hopefully. Okay, yeah, that's true. Because they did manufacture them to live longer, so. Maybe that's a way to get out of that plot point, that plot hole, if it comes up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think we kind of pretty much covered. There seems to be a big consensus around this book. I don't think we're breaking any major ground here, are we?
Yeah. Just a really long prologue to hopefully a really great story is what I'm hoping. I have faith. I have faith in this series that I'm going to enjoy it. But
Yeah. I mean, I'll let you know how this goes, because hopefully I should be able to read this in this coming week, and I'll be doing a review of this.
Okay. I'll probably pick it up for $5 or something like that on Kindle.
Yeah. That's a good idea. Unless there's something else you want to mention, I'm a little bit at a loss because I don't want to drag this out for too long. If we're just going to be sort of rehashing the same points, do you think there's anything we've missed?
No, I like there's a lot of stuff in this book to talk about, but it's kind of, does it really matter at this point in time of the series? I say we just get going on Howling Dark in March, and hopefully we can fill in these.
Yep, that sounds like a plan. So I think I'm gonna call it a day. I think we're having some technical issues as well. Just want to say thank you to Chris and John and Chadia for popping in. And I think that's all from me. So thank you, everyone, and we'll see you soon. Take care.
Yes. Have a good one, everybody. Thank you.
All right. Bye.